With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Rick Mund on TNT Radio.
He's a genius. He's a brilliant man of absolute integrity.
Okay.
Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Yes, it's Thursday, the 1st of December, in case you didn't know. Yeah, can't believe it. We're in the last month of the year. Usually at this time of the year, we start to think about Christmas and spending time with our loved ones, if we have any, and if they're still alive after taking their jobs. Yes, they've made it through another year, and we think about spending money and sitting around the fire and reminiscing about the good old days. And I'm sorry to say this, but this morning, I can't help but thinking past Christmas. I'm thinking 2023, and I'm very sorry to say this. This is just how I feel right now, looking at what's happening in the world right now and the developments and the trajectory that we're on, especially from so-called awake people. I shudder to think what 2023 is going to bring, and I'll expand on that, those vague statements, a little bit more as the show goes on. Today, who have we got? We have Greg Mabry joining me in about 15 minutes from Western Australia. I love Greg Mabry to bits. He's a good talker. He's a great writer. He's an avid reader. And he also has his own show on TNT Radio, which, by the way, anyone that's tuning in to listen to me today, there's a little squad from the UK and Europe. This is a sociable time to be listening to me. Check out Greg Mabry's show at the weekends. It's called The No Fly Zone. It's excellent. It's an hour. I think it's on a Saturday. Check the website for times, etc., wherever you happen to be listening from. But it's a really good show. I like Greg a lot, and I recommend him very, very highly. Then later on in the show, I'll be joined by Mad Mick Chaves. Mick is a diamond. He's been super active feet on the ground, active for years now, combating all the nonsense that's been thrust upon us. And yeah, I'll be getting his ideas and opinions about where we're headed at the moment in the UK and further afield. That's in the second hour of the show, so that's all coming up. Oh, there's so much happening at the minute. I have so many news items and news articles to cover with you. I don't have much time right now because I'm just about to hop into an editorial with Sonia. So I'm just going to talk generally here, okay? The station is online, as you know. You can listen through our website, which is tntradio.live. And also, very importantly, we have an app that's available through the Google Play Store and also the App Store. I encourage you to download that, and also try and if there's friends or family that they don't have the app, or they haven't checked out the station yet, do a little bit of promotion and let people know about what we're doing here, because generally speaking, the responses have been favorable to the efforts that we have made over the last 12 months to bring you guys a balanced view about what's going on in the world, warts and all, with no censorship and no limitations on what we can say. And generally speaking, when people check out the station, they have a good experience with it. They will find at least one or two presenters that they like, and they will follow, and they will happily tune into. The experience is a positive one. So feel free to recommend someone check out one of your favorite presenters, whoever it may be. Send them links to the pre-recorded shows that are uploaded onto our website every day, or at least that's what we try and do, is get them up there within 24 hours. So this show, for example, will be available by this time tomorrow for you to download or share on social media, or share on WhatsApp, or whatever messaging service that you use. We can do that as well. And it just helps to spread the word out there. It helps to get people listening. And I do believe it's like a snowball effect. You know, if you can tell one person who tells somebody else, who tells somebody else, that multiplies rapidly. And the station has been growing a lot this year. There's been a lot of growth this year. We've done a lot of development. When you think we started from scratch in January this year, which is only, 11 months ago-ish, 11 months from a standing start, everyone came together from different parts of the world. The people that were there at the launch, the studio had to be built. We had to get panelists. They had to become familiar with tech. We had to try and coordinate guests. And these are guests, remember, from all over the world. So I'm in Ireland. The studio is in Brisbane. The next guest, for example, is in Western Australia. The guest after that, for example, is in the UK. Then Darren comes on from the UK. He's talking to guests, I think, from France and Germany and all over the world. So we're juggling time zones. We're juggling people's schedules. We're juggling presenters. It's coming together very well. It's coming together very well. And next year, no doubt, we will go from strength to strength as a broadcaster and from strength to strength with content. We're always trying to improve, And we've got off to a great start this year. That's my own humble and actually unbiased opinion. I think we've done phenomenally well from a standing start as an independent broadcaster, just launching in January of this year. So you guys in chat, you're all very welcome. Maz is in there. Holly's in there. There's an anonymous person in there. I still can't figure out how to put my name on that without coming up as anonymous. Yeah, Holly loves this time of year. Yes, Zippy says, welcome to all Munions on here this morning. Indeed. You're all welcome to stay tuned and listen to what we have to say here today on TNT Radio.
News you can count on.
They break down the big story.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, consumers in the UK have been warned that they face a shortage of free-range turkeys this Christmas as the consequences of avian flu continue to cause disruption to the country's food supply. Speaking to a group of MPs that scrutinises the government's policy on food, the chief exec of the British Poultry Council, Richard Griffith, said that food security and business continuity must be built into the government's response to tackling the crisis. He told the Environment, Food and Rural Affairs Select Committee that the scale of this outbreak is unlike anything we've seen before and that its intensity poses a risk to food producers and our food supply. And here to talk about this story with me this morning is none other than Sonia Bailey. Good morning, Sonia. Good evening, should I say. How are you?
Hi, Rick. I'm good. I was trolling the news headlines today, and I did see this headline, Bird Flu Wipes Out Half of UK's Christmas Free-Range Turkeys. And I thought, you know who's going to want to really talk to me about this is Rick Munn. I thought, for sure. Mm. Yep. Of course, you know, as I often do, read a headline and then can't help but ask about the story behind the headline. Mm-hmm. Now, as you and I have discussed previously, there has been an outbreak of the avian flu or bird flu in the UK, and there has been forewarning of shortages of things like chickens, turkeys, chicken eggs, any other byproducts that essentially are going to be in short supply over Christmas. Now, the first thing that stood out to me about this headline is they're specifying free-range turkeys. So they're not actually referring to all turkeys produced for consumption. They're just referring to the free-range ones. So that then led me to think, well, hold on, if 1.4 million turkeys have been culled, which is what this article was referencing, then I began to question, well, hold on, what's the population of the UK and how many turkeys are normally produced in the UK?
Yeah.
Do you know the answers to those questions, Rick?
I'm sorry to say, I hang my head in shame to say I don't know the answers to that question. I have a feeling I'm going to find out, though.
you are going to find out because, look, this is what I do. This is the kind of person that I am. I certainly never take anything at face value. So my initial questions were, okay, well, firstly, what's actually happening on the grocery store shelves? Is there currently a shortage of eggs, chicken, and turkey when you go to the grocery store?
At the minute, for me, I can definitely say no, there's not. There's definitely no shortage at the moment at this point in time. But
right, so certainly not seeing an effect at the moment.
No.
So no. Currently the UK population, sorry, as at last year, the UK population was 67.3 million. The average number of turkeys commercially produced for human consumption in the UK is 11 million. So that's basically one in six. So
yeah,
one turkey to six people. So a cull of 1.4 million is a little over 10% of what's produced every year. So that means half a person will miss out on turkey at Christmas, according to the culling that's occurring. So it really doesn't seem to be a significant cull. So then I went back and I actually looked at the numbers for the 10 years prior to COVID, and I discovered that on average, around about 7 million turkeys are sold each year within the UK. So if 11 million are being produced and 1.4 million have been culled for safety issues, you know, I'm pretty good at math. I think that the average 7 to 8 million turkeys being sold each year is not actually going to result in a shortage. They're actually going to have about 2 million left.
Yeah, they're going to have a surplus rather than a shortage. You know, I was up at my local butcher. I use a local butcher rather than getting meat from a supermarket. And I was asking him about this, about the lockdowns. He said, listen, it's only for suppliers that do free-range turkeys, and we don't really deal with any suppliers that are using free-range turkeys at this point in time. I'll show you how ridiculous this is. I was in a coffee shop yesterday, and they had a notice up. Check this out. They had a notice up to say that sometimes they do this gluten-free stuff and vegan-friendly stuff, all this business. But they had a notice up to say, listen, we market some of our produce as free-range, as being produced with free-range eggs. But the eggs that are in your muffins today may be from free-range birds that have been kept indoors because of the bird flu. Just letting you know in the interest of being open and transparent. How the hell is anyone going to know whether or not the egg in their muffin has been from a bird that's been kept in a shed last night? Who's going to even ask? I mean, that's how ridiculous things have got. Isn't it?
This then begs the real question. So here's my real question for our listeners at home. If the supply isn't dwindling, they've managed to produce just as many turkeys as they have any other year. If they have culled just a little over 10% due to these concerns that they have, but they normally only sell around 60%, therefore they have at least a 25% surplus window to allow for things like food going off or somebody who wants to buy two and put one in their freezer. If there is more than plenty, why then have these government spokespeople come out and made these statements that sadly these turkeys have been culled, meaning that there will still be a good supply, but also there's a shortage? Why make such a big fear-mongering hoo-ha out of it? And I can only think that the reason they would want to fear-monger people about food shortages is purely to normalize food shortages. Yeah, so that when they take control of the food supply chain and they decide what people can and can't have access to, that rather than get up in arms over it, people would just shrug their shoulders and say, oh, well, it's just another food shortage.
Yeah. And it's all being these concepts, you know, rolling blackouts, power outages, shortage of this, it's all being seeded into our minds. And by the way, on the subject of turkeys, a lot of people, the local butcher I talked to is a great source. He's like a barometer for what's going on in the community and what's happening with supply and demand and electricity prices, because he's involved in all of this. He says most people as well at this point in time are moving towards buying what are called turkey crowns. pounds. So in other words, they're boning the whole carcass. They don't want the legs. They don't want the wings. They just want something they can stick a bit of stuffing in, throw it in the oven, carve it up on Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and there's nothing left over. People are moving away from buying the big bird, you know, the big bird that's bunged into the oven, and people, the kids only want a certain part of it. People pick around the rest, and then the carcass usually goes into the garden after 2 or 3 days or into the bin. So that's something to think about. And lastly, just as we wrap this up, something that made me chuckle here was in that summary that you sent me through, on a tangent, the chief executive of the British Poultry Council, Richard Griffiths. Number one, I didn't know there was a British Poultry Council. And number two, I'm wondering how much money this guy gets paid literally to speak on behalf of chickens and turkeys at various points of the year. The British Poultry Council. And also, there's an Environmental, Food and Rural Affairs Select Committee. That means it's a group of people that are probably on an exorbitant wage to
And it'll be that group of people that are ones who are going to be holding back the supply and controlling what they call the shortage. And folks, if you think that chicken, eggs and turkeys are where it stops, this is just the beginning.
This is just the beginning, is right. But having said that, Christmas is on the horizon. I don't envy the turkeys out there. But you know what? We all got to die sometime. And turkey, if there's stranded turkeys listening right now, you know, big salute to you. But you're going in the oven soon, and I'm going to be munching on one of your relatives within the next 3 to 4 weeks, I hope. Sonia, thank you very much for that story.
Thanks,
this morning. Always a pleasure talking to you. I'm Rick Mund. Greg Mabry's on the way, please. Don't go away. Stay tuned to TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Patrick Henningsen.
There's been some developments in the Julian Assange story. Might I say welcome developments, and very much along the lines of what we were looking for. And what we were looking for was a political solution, because as I've said many times before and publicly as well, that this problem is not one that's going to be won or decided in any court of law per se, but rather in the realms of politics. The solution will be a political one. And the reason, ladies and gentlemen, why there needs to be a political solution, because the problem is political. Julian Assange is a political prisoner. It has nothing to do with espionage, has nothing to do with a forced entry of any computer or anything like that. All of that stuff's been knocked down in the courts by Assange's defense team, but unfortunately the judges are under political instructions to hold him on ice and make an example out of him. That's Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks founder. That's why he is in the cooler in Belmarsh prison, and why the governments of the United States and the UK colluded to keep him there.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
Turn on Alexa and ask her to play
TNT Radio.
Turning on anything else usually requires dinner and conversation, dressing up and brushing your teeth. I'm already tired.
This is today's News Talk and the voice of freedom, TNT Radio.
Okay, I'm really happy to be joined again by none other than Greg Mabry. Greg, before you joined us on Zoom, I was begging you up. To our listeners, I was giving you a plug, a shout out. I was informing people that you were the host of the No Fly Zone show at the weekends. Let me ask you a question. This is a chance for you to, you know, drive the nail in further. Why should people listen to you at the weekend and not go out and do something else instead? What's so good about you and your show?
Well, I mean, I guess I could say this about any of the shows on TNT and all of the shows on TNT, Mark. If you want to be informed, you want to stay in touch and maybe even occasionally entertained and enlightened about the world, tune in not just to my show, but TNT. They, you know, don't touch that dial, as they say, mate. You know, but yes, indeed. For my show, I'm still, feeling my way with it all, Rick. I'm not quite as accomplished as my host today. I'm still getting there, but I'm starting to feel a little bit more comfortable with it, and I'm now I'm broadening my invitations out to quite a wide range of people now, and I've got, you know, very eclectic interests in a whole bunch of different things, and that's now starting to reflect itself on my choice of guests. For the last 3 weeks, for example, I've been looking at the corruption and conflicts of interest and criminality that exists in the banking and financial services sector, sort of starting here in Australia, but later on I'll be broadening that into a more global perspective. And it's certainly been one of the issues that has been of interest to me for a long time. And I think it is definitely one of the issues that we all should be taking much note of, much closer note of down the track, particularly with, you know, the possible advent of this, you know, central bank digital currency, which I know worries you and a lot of other of our TNT presenters as well. I mean, this is really scary stuff. But before we kind of understand what's happening with the central bank digital currency and the social credit system and all of the other bells and whistles around that, we need to really go back a little bit and understand the history of how our present financial and banking and monetary system came about. And that is something that I'm going to be focusing on. I'm going to be looking a lot at issues of fraud and conflicts of interest, as I mentioned. So for the last 2 weeks, I've had a couple of very, very interesting guests, and they'll be available on the podcast. I've got another chap coming on, and all last 2 weeks, guests have been Australian. So I'm trying to mix it up with global guests as well as Australian guests as well. And this next week, I've got a chap by the name of Evan Jones. He's an academic who has explored and looked into a lot of the shenanigans in the financial business. So we've have him on this weekend. Moving out of the orbit of you know, banking and finance, I'm also going to be looking at conspiracy theories down the track. The whole notion of the conspiracy theory construct, but in the next couple of weeks, I have a couple of guests on, one after the other, who will be talking about possibly the biggest conspiracy theory of all time, which is the JFK assassination. So again, to answer your question, why should people listen in? There'll be lots of stuff there that will hopefully appeal to a broad range of people. There'll be a lot to do with informing people about history and of course, why those historical events are very, very relevant to understanding what's happening now, and particularly getting a bit of a handle on where things will go in the future. So that's a long way around saying that's why you should listen to our show.
Excellent. Well, do you know what? I'm glad you said that, because you're on at the weekends. Usually people, for example, that are listening to you right now will probably be from UK, Europe, because it's morning time here. Probably some Australians later on in the evening. So they might be out at the weekends. They may not even be aware that the show's on, because people tend to gravitate at certain times to do things. It's part of their daily routine. So listeners, if you can, check out Greg's show, and it's on a Saturday, is that correct? What time's it on at Brisbane
Saturday time? We go live Saturday Brisbane time, 6 o'clock, but of course listeners can always get the podcasts on our own platform and on various other forums. So if you can't listen in live, always check us out later on with the podcasts.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the No Fly Zone with Greg Mabry. And I recommend him highly. You and I have been talking on air now here for a long time, actually, since pretty much the station launched. Not too long after the station launched, you and I first got chatting. I liked speaking to you. You're an avid reader, I was telling people. You have a lot of knowledge in a lot of different areas. You're a little bit longer in the tooth in terms of life experience, which is good. That's a compliment, by the way, rather than an insult. I'm getting there.
I was hoping to keep that
generally
secret.
No. Well, generally, you know, it's the Bible says that the strength of an old man is his gray hair. Okay. And it's true. I'm starting to get a few grays myself. Jeff in the studio, he wears a baseball cap. He's probably completely gray underneath that. No, he's been dyeing his hair again. He's got the Grecian out. It's a compliment, by the way. So the longer generally someone has been alive for, especially if they're a reader and they're a critical thinker, they will have absorbed more knowledge or have maybe more insights than somebody younger or new to the game. So it's nice to get a deep perspectives on some of the issues that we talk about here on Locked and Loaded and on TNT Radio from the like of your good self. So that's enough plugging of Greg Mabry for right now. We're going to take a real quick ad break. And actually, when we come back, some of the things that you touched on that you'll be covering, I watched the documentary there yesterday on the follow-up to Oliver Stone's JFK movie. a real eye-opener, if ever there was one. We can touch on a few things like that, as well as general current affairs. So don't go away, listeners. We'll be right back here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio News. We are your station for news.
News. Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. US Republican lawmakers who recently won control of the lower house of US Congress are calling for the Biden administration to provide thorough oversight of the weapons it's sending to Ukraine. Germany has accused the Soviet Union of committing genocide in Ukraine in the 1930s, and Beijing has accused Washington of hyping up the supposed threat that China poses to the world in order to justify expanding its own nuclear arsenal.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, this business about, there's so many areas that you could decide you want to investigate, so many cases, so many events, so many crimes, so many theories. You don't have enough time to do all that. People just don't have enough time to do all that. And I have tried to, condense as much information in as many areas as I can this year alone. Okay, it's not possible to be an expert in every area or even to be really well ginned up in every area, but some people focus on some rather than others. And you mentioned the JFK case. I watched a documentary on that. Actually bought it. It was a couple of quid. I got it for a cheap sale price. It was a two-hour follow-up to Oliver Stone's movie on JFK, where he really went deep into the whole assassination and Lee Harvey Oswald and everything. And strangely, it was narrated by Whoopi Goldberg, okay, which almost put me off buying it. But it was made some few years ago. And actually, now Whoopi Goldberg is just gone. I mean, she's just shilling out for Big Pharma and the government. But it's ironic when you listen to her narrating the documentary, she's full on board with the whole conspiracy thing. She's talking about CIA false flag events in Cuba. She's talking about Operation Northwoods. And genuinely, you know, it's from the heart. And in a strange way, watching that, learning some of the things and the amount of shenanigans that went on around Kennedy's assassination, and then looking at people like Goldberg, who have completely switched and are now really government spokespeople, it's weird to see the change in people and the change in narratives. There was a guy as well, just on a tangent here, and I'll throw this across to you, but I saw a podcast the other night with an ex-CIA agent. I think his name's Bustamante. I can't remember his first name. But he was being asked about, it was on that Lex Friedman, some guy called Lex Friedman does podcasts. But he had a CIA agent on a four-hour deep dive with this guy. And the JFK assassination got brought up. Okay, and you could tell when Friedman asked him outright, he says, so let's talk about the big one. He said, was the CIA involved in the assassination of JFK, in your opinion? And there was a very brief pause, and he looked at him dead in the eyes, and he said, well, what I know about the CIA, I couldn't imagine that that is at all possible. And I thought, you were doing so well, mate. You spoke so brilliantly for about 3 hours, and just the bullshitometer just went off the scales in the space of 2 to 3 seconds. Yeah. And as he said, classified information around anything is usually 2 by 25. So it's two sets of 25 years. And as he said, the JFK stuff is so heavily redacted and classified, it may never see the light of day, which must make you ask the question why that is. So that's a recommendation for any of you out there. There's a great documentary, Oliver Stone, the follow-up to the JFK movie. It goes into every detail. And if you want to get genned up on it quickly in the space of 2 hours, that's a good starting point.
Rick, this is the recent one. It was a four-hour documentary, I think, which I haven't watched yet. And there's a reason why I'm holding off on that. I won't go into that at the moment. But you're talking about the four-hour documentary.
Maybe it's in two parts. No, this one would have been a start to finish documentary by Stone, and it was 2 hours. I could get the details of it up actually when it was released.
I was just curious.
There might be a different one you're thinking about.
No, it was released earlier this year, recently. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not the Whoopi Goldberg one, which I'm not familiar with, that you mentioned. It was released in the last 12 months. I understood that it was...
It was 2021. It's called JFK Revisited Through the Looking Glass, and it's 1 hour 58 minutes long. So that's okay. Where I got it. JFK Revisited Through the Looking Glass 2021. Yeah. So it's recent-ish.
Yeah. Like I said, I won't go into the reasons why I have held off on watching that. I will, I've watched and listened to and read so much about the JFK thing, like a lot of people have done. I'm not exactly what you would call an obsessive, and I'm certainly not an obsessive. There are different kinds of obsessives, I guess, with JFK. And I guess you could say this with any of the big conspiracy theories. A lot of people focus on the process. Take JFK. It's pretty much a Rosetta Stone, I guess, if we want to understand the whole conspiracy theory construct. But, you know, there's been 2,000 books or thereabouts, Rick, that's just books. Mm-hmm. Forget the articles. Forget the documentaries. That's just books. It's a publishing genre unto its own. To my knowledge, no single event in history has produced as many books. It's sort of like virtually a publishing industry in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those books, you could probably raffle most of them. And even the good ones, a lot of the good and interesting ones, focus on the actual process. How many shooters were there? How did they pull it off? All of that sort of thing. My interest in JFK has always been in who did it and why, and what was the purpose? What was it all? Who brought it about? Uh-huh. And I'm not talking about the people who, were in the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository building or who were hiding in the drains with telescopic scopes or whatever. Uh-huh. I'm not talking about the actual shooters. I'm talking about who set it up.
Who gave the orders.
To begin with, what were the motives and not even how they covered it. We know how they covered it up, but how were they able to get away with it for so long? And until and unless not just Americans, but all of us come to terms with the with the whole motive behind it and how that actually completely changed American society, American politics. It completely changed everything. They used to say that about 9/11. But before 9/11 changed everything, in my view, JFK changed everything. And perhaps in some respects, some might argue that it actually eventually led to 9/11 because the mindset would have been then, if we can get away with shooting the president, and we did that how many years ago, we can get away with something like 9/11. So there's that kind of mindset, I think, that really prevails amongst the powers that be when it comes to these big events and pulling them off.
Yeah, and I'm not. I don't get too involved or too dragged into various conspiracy theories. And the JFK one, for example, something that I think everybody's at least aware that there's this possibility that he was killed by his own people, which I think he was. And having watched that documentary and listened to various other accounts, I mean, it's unquestionable as far as I can see. You know, when you see the way they messed up the body in the autopsy, the shit that changed his body, the old magic bullet theory. I mean, for example, the so-called magic bullet, I think it was CE-399, it was labeled as evidence. You know, it was a perfectly intact bullet, pretty much. Yeah. And, you know, with it going through different people and hitting a wrist, you know, one of the guys whose wrist it hit and broke allegedly, went into his leg. They actually did an experiment to try and see the results. So they took cadavers, dead bodies of big, heavy set men, and actually shot 200 cadavers in the wrist with a same caliber bullet from the same type of distance. And every single one of those 200 cadavers that the bullet went into and hit the wrist, the bullet was severely deformed and distorted. Okay, so think about this for a second. They shot 200 dead bodies to investigate the possibility that this magic bullet could remain intact, and said it's absolutely impossible. That in and of itself shows a big hole in the argument, and there's so much more. But you hit the nail on the head there, as far as I'm concerned, when you said, listen, let's take it all back to that point. If they bump off their own president, who was loved by the people, by the way, and they also said there's no other president in history has as many street names and boulevards named after him right across the world than JFK to this day. There's a place about 30 miles from me, a little town called Newry in Northern Ireland, and it has a JFK close in it. You know what I mean? In Newry in Northern Ireland. The guy was loved. He was hated as well. But generally speaking, his approval rating was high. And if they were prepared to bump him off, what chance have you got? What chance have I got if the government decides Greg Mabry, Rick Munn needs to go? Mate, the gloves are well and truly off. And as you said, explains bigger things like 9/11. Or should I say, let's extrapolate it further to the whole scandemic, whereby millions, if not billions, of people have been injected with lethal injections. Anything's possible.
Absolutely. And, you know, just speaking of COVID, you know, I mean, even before COVID hit, my feeling is that no matter how wild and woolly some conspiracy theory might be, I don't embrace it willingly or openly or, you know, immediately. But I certainly do not rule it out, and by any means. I mean, in fact, I'm going to have a guest on the show, funnily enough. You know, one of the most supposedly outlandish conspiracy theories of all was that they didn't actually land on the moon. Now, okay, well, I'm having a bloke on the show, may not happen this year, but next year. He's also big into the JFK thing. But he has reason to believe that the moon landing was a hoax. Now, you know, I don't know. I'm not buying into that one yet. But I just use that as an example of one of what most people would consider to be the extreme end of the conspiracy theory construct. The whole thing is really, really fascinating to look at it from a psychological perspective. Not that I'm, you know, I'm an armchair psychologist at best, but it really is a fascinating thing to look at, because the conspiracy theory construct, or the conspiracy theory meme, if you like, it really came about, and you would know this, Rick, it was actually perpetrated by the CIA. They didn't want people questioning the Warren Commission report, which was the report into the assassination, which, you know, put out that single bullet theory and all of that sort of thing and established the official narrative. So in order to circumvent that, they invented this thing, oh, well, look, when people start talking about challenging official narratives, we call them conspiracy theorists. And that that's now still with us today. And it's probably, I've always considered to be the most successful psychological operation ever put in play by the CIA. And their track record has been patchy at best, I suppose.
Yeah.
But they've certainly got away with a lot. There's no question about it. As for their involvement in the JFK thing, no serious JFK researcher denies that they had some involvement. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about a minimum involvement, and that's not just in the cover-up. They certainly were involved in the cover-up. With that, that is indisputable. Mm-hmm. But as to whether they were involved in the execution of the murder is, you know, perhaps some people might want to argue that, but it's not just the CIA. There were many other people that, in my view, were involved, did have a hand in either the perpetration of the act or the covering up of the act. So you kind of look at the JFK thing in two parts. Same with 9/11 again. You know, you have a look at the execution of the act, who did it, why was it done, you know, what sort of things were going on in the background that actually led people who did perpetrate this act to commit that act, and then how did they get away with covering it up? And, you know, that's it really is a fascinating area to explore, and it's one that we'll be doing, as I said, quite a bit on the show going forward. But back to JFK.
That's something to, it's something to look forward to, you know. And like I said, this is just one example, and, you know, it's just you literally happened to mention the JFK business just before the news break, and I happened to be watching it. So, yeah, you take the right approach in that, you know, you don't take anything at face value. You do your research, and you have to ask the question, who did it? But most importantly, why? Because there has to be a motive. If there's no motive, you know, you can't really justify why anything was carried out. Same as 9/11. Absolutely. It's not a case of who did it, just but why would they do that? And then you walk it back from there. So that's just a good approach, I think, to take with anything. Be skeptical, take everything with a pinch of salt. And do your own research and then come to your own logical conclusions. And then, of course, you can be flexible. You can amend those as more evidence comes out, or maybe just, you know, you could discount it altogether, but it needs to be fluid. So that's good. And it's good to know that you'll be having people on your show that'll be deep diving into that sort of thing, which is something for our lovely listeners to look forward to. So we're going to take a quick ad break here. We'll be back in 2 minutes with some disturbing revelations from the old Neuralink front, in my humble opinion. Musk's little side hustle, along with his Starlink and his Tesla and his SpaceX and all that business, you know, the savior of mankind. He made an announcement yesterday on a Neuralink broadcast, which I think is deeply disturbing and very worrisome going into 2023. But we'll touch on that when we come back in 2 minutes. Don't go away.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
The phony climate war is going to be causing actual misery. It's already started to cause misery, of course. Just take a look at your pocketbook. I'm not just talking in the United States. I'm talking everywhere. But now that winter is coming, the same early winter that we've been talking about for over 3 months, so when the climate alarmists and phony climate warriors start blaming climate change for it, they say, well, wait a minute. What did that Neanderthal know-nothing, the climate-denying guy, Joe Bastardi, how did he know this a few months ago? Isn't that special? But here is the problem, folks. The problem is you are not going to win this phony climate war with this tit-for-tat stuff. In 2 or 3 weeks, this is going to probably be big news across the globe. And of course, they'll say one thing and we'll say another thing. The way to do it is to get way out in front of it and set the trap for them, so when it comes, you could say, you didn't know it, you weren't paying attention. This is meteorologist and TNT climate and weather watchdog, Joe Bastardi, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Black Lives Matter was formed in 2013 following the trial of George Zimmerman, who was acquitted of murder on grounds of self-defense for killing Trayvon Martin, a 17-year-old African-American youth. In protest of the verdict, left-wing author and labor organizer Alicia Garza coined the term Black Lives Matter, activist and art college instructor Patrice Cullers and Black Alliance for Immigration executive director Opal Tometi helped popularize the phrase as the social media hashtag, hashtag Black Lives Matter. In 2014, the movement attracted further attention after the fatal shooting of Michael Brown by a police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. The movement gained further attention during the death of George Floyd in 2020, when an estimated 15 million to 26 million people participated in the 2020 Black Lives Matter protests in the United States. Subsequent riots inspired and created by Black Lives Matter caused property damage of between $1 billion to $2 billion, involved the burning of cars and buildings, looting, assaults, and some deaths. As such, the 9,000-plus individual Black Lives Matter protests could be described as American history's biggest, longest, most destructive riot.
What's your name?
I'll let you in on a little secret.
Oh, come on, guys.
You must tell us.
This is Today's News Talk and the voice of freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, news breaking. Elon Musk is confident, in inverted commas, he's confident that Neuralink brain chips will cure blindness and make the crippled walk, restore mobility, as he aims for human trials. He aims for human trials within 6 months. Quote, it's like replacing a piece of your skull with a smartwatch, unquote. Now, there's a lot in that. Number one, I wouldn't even wear a smartwatch on my wrist, right? With a strap, let alone letting some loon bore out a piece of my skull and implant one of these Neuralink things on my noggin. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, and this is fresh off the press as well, Bloomberg say Musk's Neuralink hopes to implant computer in human brains within 6 months. So take it from now, we're looking at mid-2023, to which Musk himself said, and I quote, he said this 5 hours ago, we are now confident, there's that word again, confident, we're confident that the Neuralink device is ready for humans. So timing is a function of working through the FDA approval process. The FDA, those legends in America who approved the COVID vaccines and Operation Warp Speed and told us everything was safe and effective and prevented transmission, the same people are signing off on Neuralink. I don't know how you feel about this, all right? And I'm seeing a cult of personality developing in and around Elon Musk, the same type of cult of personality that developed in and around Donald Trump and arguably some of the more famous cult leaders. Okay, we've touched on the past about cult leaders. People seem to be overlooking a lot of stuff when it comes to Elon Musk. Okay, they seem to have blinkers on. They seem to crave restoration of Twitter accounts and the ability to say what they want on this little bluebird platform. It seems to trump everything. From what I'm seeing, it seems to trump everything. The SpaceX business, the government contracts for defense with Starlink, the Neuralink brain implants, the push towards transhumanism and interfacing with artificial intelligence, the whole shift of Tesla and EVs and everything. It just seems to be a side thing, a side issue, a little incy-bitsy side issue. Mate, he's genuinely pushing for transhumanism in 2023. What do you make of all this?
Well, let's go back to, you know, this cult of personality. I mean, with Musk, I've always had misgivings about him. I guess, you know, when the dude starts walking on water and then turns it into my favourite wine, then I might sort of bow down and hail him as the new Messiah, you know. But at the moment, you know, I just can't really envision him as being anything other than, you know, perhaps the next Bill Gates, you know, or the, you know, with his Neuralink. Is that going to be the new vaccine down the track? You know, we're going to be forced to have these Neuralinks. We've been forced to have vaccines. And of course, there's plenty of plenty of theories. There's no shortage of theories out there about what the vaccines are doing with nanobiotechnology, what they're already doing to people, irrespective of the actual physical effects of the vaccines, which have been, you know, well documented. Although, again, you know, people still really haven't woken up to that. Mm-hmm. You know, with this Neuralink, I confess I haven't really taken a lot of notice of it, Rick. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you actually brought it up, because the quicker we start to get onto all of these proposals, because these guys are planting these seeds. Mm-hmm. And even if the Neuralink thing doesn't come about in the next 12 months or the next five mm-hmm. years, in another half generation at least, you know, everybody will be talking about Neuralinks. And then that's one step from there to be talking about, well, okay, it's such now that you actually have to have these, and you won't be able to get a bank account. You won't be able to go to the store unless you've got a Neuralink. You know, I mean, that might sound like it's out there and bizarre, but I mean, if you'd said 5 years ago that we were all going to be forced to have these vaccines, these experimental injections, mm-hmm. You know, most people would have said, nah, it's never going to happen, never going to happen, you know. But, of course, you know, the last 3 years have dispelled for many of us any kind of doubts we might have about what these lunatics will do and what they might have in store for us. Now, I'm not suggesting that Musk himself is a lunatic. I think Gates mm-hmm. is definitely a lunatic, very, very mm-hmm. dangerous lunatic. Musk may actually have some, altruistic intentions, you know, with some of this technology. I certainly know that Bill Gates doesn't. Anybody that thinks that needs a checkup from the neck up. But yeah, Musk is a funny one. I just don't really know about him, Rick. You know, I'm deeply suspicious. Bottom line.
Well, you talked about earlier on, you know, a little bit tongue in cheek, when he walks in water and turns the water into wine, you'll maybe take him seriously. Effectively, this messianic vision that he has for his products, effectively, that's what he's doing with Neuralink. He's saying, we're going to make the blind see, and we're going to make the lame walk again. And listen, that in and of itself is not a bad thing to aspire to. But let's face it, think about this. And my take on it this morning is, I've really been thinking about this, and I'll probably be really opening this up over the next week on the show with different guests and one thing and another. To me, this Neuralink announcement is the big tech equivalent of the COVID jabs. It's the big tech equivalent. And what I mean is, when they were rolled out very quickly, signed off by the FDA, told they were safe and effective, but marketed to you and I as the way out of lockdown, the way to get free again is to take your jabs and do the right thing. The same principles, in my opinion, are being applied. Okay, how can we make this product appealing to all and above criticism? We'll tell people the blind will see, and the lame will walk, and it will advance human. Who could possibly be against that? Who could possibly have a problem with that? And based on the feedback that I'm seeing, and if you go onto his own Twitter page and the Neuralink page, it's there for you to read. It's instantly accessible. There are tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of people that are willing and happy to be part of this, to be part of the first wave of recipients to offer themselves up on the altar of Neuralink for literal experimentation. That's what's disturbing to me. Because let's face it, crazy people with crazy ideas are nothing new in history. You know, I'm a little bit crazy. I have a lot of crazy ideas. Thank God I don't have the facility to bring them into reality. A lot of us all have loony ideas, but we can't manifest them. He's in the position where he literally can, the same way Gates can with his vaccine fetish and his desire to stick needles into people's arms and control world population. He's got the money, the means, and the backing to do it. Yeah. In the same way, I believe Musk has the means, the money, and the backing to do it with his tech fantasies. Okay, it's just I don't want to be part of them. Let me give you a recommendation before you go, actually, and also to all listeners. If you want to really get a really good summary on all of this, Karen Hunt, who's a regular guest on my show, has been all year. She appears on Hervoya Moritz's show and Joseph Arthur as well. She is a Substack, K-H-Mezek. khmezek.substack.com. Go onto her Substack and look at the writing. You would love her as a writer. She's a phenomenal writer. She's a very prolific deep dive writer. She's done some phenomenal articles on this, and her and I discussed this about 6 months ago. So that's a good point of reference. khmezek.substack.com. Karen Hunt, look that up and you'll get a real good introduction to this subject. And then should you decide you want to dive into it further yourself, then you can do that. But I think it's setting us up time frame wise for a not so good 2023. When I think of the people that are lauding this and applauding this, people that maybe should know better, I worry a little bit, Greg. That's just the Irishman in me, you know.
Rick, I couldn't agree more. And I've taken that on board. This is an area that, again, going down the track, I want to explore on future shows in the new year. I'm sort of mapping out a whole series of sort of themes and topics for next year's show, and I will definitely contact that lady and have her on the show and other people. You know,
she'd be happy to come on with you,
because I think it's absolutely crucial that people are aware of what's coming down the pike. You know, we don't want to be caught out like we were all caught out with the COVID thing. People have to be glued into what actually might come next, you know, without being overly paranoid about it, because we're still going to live life. But look, just one other thing, Rick, I just wanted to finish up. This is digressing completely, and I know you're a big fan of music. Vale to Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac, who has just passed on. I don't know if you know about that or not.
I didn't know about that. I was listening to Fleetwood Mac yesterday.
Oh, you were. Must have been something.
I was.
In the
genuinely. Genuinely. I was listening to Fleetwood Mac yesterday.
I'm showing my age, but I used to listen to Fleetwood Mac before they were Fleetwood Mac. And and she was right there, right from the word go. But she passed away just yesterday, age 79. So, guys, listeners to Fleetwood Mac.
RIP to her. And thank you for bringing that up. Doff the cap to her. Greg, thank you very much for your. We're out of time, my friend.
Hey guys,
check him out. No Fly Zone on a Saturday. Greg Mabry, check him out. I'll be back after the news with more of the same TNT Radio.